In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
But when will the Catholic Church get with the times, some people say?
Cale Clark.
Well, the Catholic Church isn't concerned about getting with the times, as Peter Kreeft has said so well. The Church doesn't read the times. She reads the eternities. She's concerned about the end times and your eternal soul. She is only concerned with saving your soul and mine. She has no authority to change the teachings of her Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Now, other Christian communities think they have the authority to change those teachings of Jesus. And the irony is that people are always complaining the Catholic Church is constantly trying to impose its authority over my life. The Catholic Church actually claims to have far less authority than these other groups do. The Catholic Church is the faithful spouse who will never commit spiritual contraception or divorce by imbibing the potions of our age, changing our Lord's teachings to suit the ways of the world.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Now it's a flight from reality itself.
Patrick Madrid.
We've turned in the direction of a denial of reality. Look at some of the, for example, gender ideology. Talk about the opposite of evidence and science-based. It's all about feelings and one's perception of oneself. I use that as just one example. Let me share a Bible passage with you. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to this. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Therefore, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A strong delusion. I mean, one way to interpret that is that God withdraws from certain people. I wonder if that may be a description of what's going on right now.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Keeping you better informed, educated, and inspired. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon, and you thought that we were home free as Catholics when the Supreme Court unanimously protected the Little Sisters of the Poor from those draconian government fines. Remember that when they recognized that the government doesn't need the Little Sisters to provide services such as the after weak pill, right? And then you'll remember it was only a few years ago. It was 5 years ago, as a matter of fact. In May of 2017, President Trump issued that executive order directing HHS and other federal agencies to protect the Little Sisters of the Poor and other religious nonprofits from the Affordable Care Act mandate. Now, you thought we were home free, but wait a minute. This is happening right now, and we want to put this on your radar because it's an important story, and it's something that could cancel Catholic health care in the United States. I'll say that one more time. An elaborate effort going on in Washington right now to cancel Catholic health care. And this is happening with Health and Human Services. Thanks be to God for the work of attorney Martin Nussbaum, who is in Colorado and advising the Catholic Benefits Association. Attorney Nussbaum is joining us this afternoon here on the Drew Mariani Show, and so is Douglas Wilson, who is the CEO of the Catholic Benefits Association. This is important information that you should know about. Douglas, Martin, thank you for your time this morning. Douglas, I want to start with you. Tell us a little bit about what the Catholic Benefits Association does, because it sets up the conversation that we're about to have.
Well, hi, John. Thanks so much for having us today. The Catholic Benefits Association currently represents 75 Catholic dioceses, more than 6,000 parishes, over 1,200 Catholic colleges, universities, schools, hospitals, religious orders, charities, ministries, and importantly, privately owned Catholic businesses as well. And over the past 8 years, we've gained on behalf of both our current and our future members permanent injunctive protection against the requirements of those very contraceptive mandates that you were just referring to, of the Affordable Care Act, as well as the subsequent transgender services mandates related to Section 1557 of that same Affordable Care Act. These protections that we've gained for all of those Catholic organizations also extend to their insurance carriers and their third-party administrators. And like you say, we were feeling pretty good about that. We have an unblemished record of beating back these kinds of religious liberty assaults. But in November, we uncovered what will soon become a proposed rule by the Department of Health and Human Services. And to build on what you said, it is a comprehensive rule. It's intended to remove religion and conscience from the workplace, from employee benefits programs, and from the delivery of healthcare services. It replaces those things with an extreme ideologically based sexual orientation and gender identity mandate. That'll be CBA's next battle.
Martin, as the attorney that's advising the Catholic Benefits Association, how did you discover this?
Related to the litigation that the Catholic Benefits Association has filed, and there's a number of other lawsuits. One was filed by the Whitman Walker Clinic, and it's really a lawsuit between friendlies after the Biden administration became the defendant. And it's a little bit complicated, but essentially the government, in response to a motion from the Whitman Walker Clinic, said that they are working on a new regulation that will issue this month, that it will be quite satisfying to a group of 30 sexual activist organizations that had filed a memorandum with HHS regarding what the new rule should say. In fact, they attached that memo called the Leadership Conference Memo to that pleading by the Department of Justice and HHS. And then just this past week on March 31, which was called Transgender Visibility Day, HHS issued a number of statements and policy statements which suggests that the administration may be going even further than the leadership conference group had asked for. We know that two regulations have already been finished, the proposed regulations, and they're now at the Office of Management Budget for their review and approval. So we think they could come out any day.
Douglas and Martin, I'll ask you first. Am I overstating this case here, that this could cancel Catholic health care in the United States?
What it could do is, if the Catholic health, Catholic hospitals, which are one out of six hospital beds in the United States, it's a huge presence of Catholic ministry in the United States, if they don't comply with the government or file lawsuits to seek relief, it could force them to violate the ethical and religious directives of the Catholic Church, which are a large part of what defines their Catholicity. Let me give you some specifics about that, if I can, John.
Sure.
While we won't know for sure until the proposed regulation is published, it appears quite likely it'll include four classes of mandates. And these are both health plan coverage mandates and performance mandates if you're a Catholic hospital. So all Catholic employers, dioceses and Catholic charities and hospitals, as well as Catholic-owned businesses, will be subject to the employer health plan coverage mandates. Catholic health care will be subject to those plus the performance mandates. Here's what they're likely to include. Number one, believe it or not, surgical abortion, because they're going to define the prohibition on sex discrimination as including termination of pregnancy. The Biden administration has already taken steps that it appears that they are very friendly with chemical abortions, which are now 40% of all abortions, and we'll have to wait and see if chemical abortion is part of it. But surgical abortion looks like a likely mandate. Number two, a whole host of gender transition services, including puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, top and bottom surgeries, even gender-conforming cosmetic surgeries. So, for example, if you're a male-to-female transitioner and you still have a square jaw or a male voice, they'll be required to do procedures to feminize the voice and soften the facial features. The HHS, in the statements that they issued on gender visibility day, they're also defining gender-affirming care to include something called social-affirming care. We'll have to see again how this is in the regulation, but it may include access to restrooms and showers and dorms, mandatory use of names and pronouns, providing gender-affirming hairstyles, and even supportive networks. The third, that's a huge category, number two.
Yeah.
Number three is reproductive health care, including for individuals that these activists are calling socially infertile individuals. That would be single people and gay couples. Reproductive health care, it's not spelled out in the memo of what that will be, but it might include surrogacy coverage. And finally, they're going to repeat, it appears, the contraceptive abortifacient and sterilization mandate that was the subject of so much litigation. But this time, all of this will come out with no religious exemption. And we've seen the Biden administration already backing off of religious exemptions. And in fact, the Trump era conscience and religious exemption that you referred to in your introduction, we believe the reversal of that is the second regulation now being reviewed by the Office of Management and Budget.
Wow. We're having an important conversation here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app about what potentially could cancel Catholic health care here in the United States, with Health and Human Services expected to propose this month health care rules on abortion, transgender services that would affect literally every Catholic organization in the United States. Our conversation with attorney Martin Nussbaum, who's advising the Catholic Benefits Association, and Douglas Wilson, who is the CEO of the Catholic Benefits Association. Douglas, you talked about representing some 6,000 parishes and other Catholic businesses and organizations here in the country. How have you communicated this to them? Part one of the question, and part two, have you had any discussions with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops about this and put it on their radar?
Well, John, thanks. As a matter of fact, when we uncovered this in November, that was the very first thing we did, was bring it to the attention in detail of the USCCB. But we also immediately started working with our friends at Beckett, at ADF, and other right-minded law firms, and we've started a very visible and robust campaign. We've been on calls with HHS and worked with other Catholic organizations. We're doing our best to make as many people aware, and thank you for allowing us that opportunity today. We don't seem to be making a lot of progress, and to put it in short form, it's a purposeful assault on the religious rights of every faith and on the conscience rights of every American. So So while we're doing our best to mitigate it ahead of the implementation, we will be ready to litigate.
And we need to bombard our elected officials in Washington, D.C., as Roman Catholic men and women, to let them know where we stand, because this assault is happening all over again. It really is the Affordable Care Act mandates on steroids, isn't it?
It is, John, and this will be done without going to Congress. We think it's likely to come out by means of regulation, and it will be a means by which the current administration can continue to serve its constituents even after they lose, if the projections are right, control of the House and Congress. But let me amplify something else that Doug commented on, which is our communications with the USCCB. Our board, the CBA board, includes, Doug, am I right now, 8 archbishops and bishops on the board, yes, as well as a number of prominent Catholic laypersons.
Thanks be to God for that.
Representatives from religious orders and others. And so the bishops are quite concerned about this.
You can see this hand of Satan in this on so many different levels. Martin, you used a term, and words are thrown around so much to kind of couch the harsh realities of what is behind them. Gender-affirming care sounds so gentle. What is that?
Yeah, so that's the cosmetic surgery. And what's surprising about this is all of this is actually elective surgery. No one is having these top and bottom surgeries because their tops and bottoms aren't working properly. But the gender-affirming care is cosmetic surgery so that after you transition, you can have your features feminized or masculinized and your voice as well. And what's really extraordinary about that is insurance and health plans typically have not been required to cover cosmetic surgeries, which are quite expensive, unless it's reconstructive surgery for someone who's been in an accident or suffered a amputation of some sort.
I'd just like to jump in on that too, because in addition to the surgical aspect of it, gender affirming care would also include those hormonal treatments, puberty blocking drugs that are being used off label on our children to affirm their dysphoric ideas of who they are or might become. So that's
Douglas and Martin, I just have to take a quick break here, and I'm hopeful you can give us a few more minutes and stay with us, because this really is a critical and important conversation that we're having that affects you and me as Roman Catholic men and women, and for any organization that we're a part of, including some 6,000 parishes represented by the Catholic Benefits Association, where Health and Human Services are expected to propose healthcare rules on abortion and transgender services that would make Catholic organizations have to provide that in their health plans. We'll continue this conversation here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew on this Monday of Holy Week. Imagine if your health plan had on it surgical abortion, cross-sex hormones, gender transition surgeries, contraception. You would run from that health plan. I mention that because Health and Human Services right now, and this could be by the end of the month, is expected to propose healthcare rules on those very services. This was discovered by Martin Nussbaum, who is an attorney representing the Catholic Benefits Association. He's joining us today, as well as Doug Wilson, who is the CEO of the Catholic Benefits Association. And Martin, you'll excuse me, I think I've watched too many Law and Order reruns, but when we get into the courtroom scene, this would be one of those questions that would be asked, and the opposing attorney would say, objection, and then I would say, question withdrawn. So here's the question. How much of Planned Parenthood money is behind this? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. I do know that, I wonder, let me just put it that way,
yeah,
that with the advent of chemical abortion, that's now 40% of all abortions in the United States, that deprives a lot of cash for that are received for services from Planned Parenthood if they're not performing those procedures. I presume they are involved in making that drug available. The Biden administration eliminated the safety restrictions on the drug called REMS so that it's now mail order. But most people don't recognize that Planned Parenthood is now the largest vendor of the cross-sex hormones that Doug had talked about. So it does appear that they're getting into the gender transition services business, but I don't have more detail than that.
And if you're just joining us in this conversation about this HHS proposal to change healthcare and how it would affect us as Catholics and Catholic organizations, this is something that does not have to go by Congress. This is, again, I just want to be sure, Martin, this is a stroke of a pen and it happens, correct?
That's correct. There is an Administrative Procedure Act, so it's a little more involved, but it doesn't have to have congressional approval. What I think will happen is HHS will issue within the next month something called a advance notice of proposed rulemaking, which is a proposed regulation. It will then, there'll be a comment period, and then after reviewing the comments, it will issue the final regulation that will then take effect.
Douglas, you mentioned our friends at the Beckett Fund that have done so much pro bono work when it comes to the Little Sisters of the Poor and these issues that affect us as Catholics. Should this proposal go through with HHS, you being a very large organization with the Catholic Benefits Association, what's your next step as someone who represents 6,000 parishes and a number of other Catholic organizations?
Well, the first thing we'll do, and Martin could well be a better person to answer that question than I, but we will first take a line-by-line look through this, and what we've seen preliminarily tells us that it's going to be extremely long, extremely complex, and it will take a lot of analysis. But that's the first thing we'll undertake. On behalf of our membership, who already has protections from the contraceptive mandates, from the transgender mandates previously issued, our next step on behalf of our membership will be to determine how much of this are they already protected from, and we do think that there's going to be a significant part of it that we will have immunity from. Then moving forward, we'll refine our legal strategy, our litigation strategy, to address the parts of it that we're not already protected from.
Martin, I know this may be a very difficult question to answer, but should this mandate go into effect, what are some of the options that a Catholic insurance company might have down the road? How do you drive around all of these mandates from Health and Human Services?
So where most of this comes from is, in fact, I'm not really aware of any Catholic insurance companies that are health plan insurance companies. But most Catholic employers, and again, both for-profit and ministries, colleges, et cetera, have a health plan that's either group insurance or what's called a self-funded plan. Those policies and plans will become subject to the mandate. And the only I don't think we're going to see any religious exemption. The current administration and the activists are very hostile to any religious exemption, and they've been denying exemptions where they could. The only choice will be to file a lawsuit or to elect a new administration to withdraw the regulation. The CBA is almost certain, to the extent that our prior injunctions don't protect our members, to file a lawsuit to seek protection for our members and future members, just as we have done in the past. It's complicated, but there are, especially with federal regulations, strong protections under something called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. But the leadership conference memo that I talked about actually recommended that HHS not take the Religious Freedom Restoration Act into account when it issues regulations. So they're going to force a lawsuit. And unfortunately, that's a lot of strife that's unnecessary. But the option is even worse. The alternative is even worse.
Yeah, yeah, and this is an important issue that we'll continue to follow here on Relevant Radio, and I thank you so much for your time today and to just, you know, make this something that is critical, really, to all of us and why we need to be calling our elected officials in Washington, D.C. about this HHS proposed health care rule on abortion, transgender services, and so many other things that is contrary to what you and I stand for in our as Catholics and contrary to our Catholic faith. Martin Nussbaum is an attorney in Colorado Springs advising the Catholic Benefits Association. Douglas Wilson is the CEO of the Catholic Benefits Association, also based in Colorado. Douglas, Martin, you'll be in our prayers, and we certainly will pray extra prayers to the Holy Spirit that his very strong hand not only continues to guide you, but also those in Washington, D.C., so that we're not talking about this in the near future and we can somehow avoid some of the difficulties that HHS may put on the table. Martin, Douglas, thank you so much. We appreciate your time here today. I know a lot of you want to talk about this as well because it's so maddening because we thought we were home free. Don't you think we were home free because of going from the most pro-life administration to where we are right now? I'm having difficulty getting Karen. There's Karen. Karen in Waukesha, thank you so much for holding. What do you think of what's going on? Just when you thought we were home free, look what's happening.
Right. This is... It is so disgusting, first of all. And, John, I want to say, too, I'm so glad that you stepped in for Drew. I miss you on the radio. Excellent facilitator. And just miss your participation on all these different conversations. What my problem is with this is that it's wrong, number one, and it's all been stated before. But it's the money that is going to transgender and abortion and all this. What about our veterans? What about the poor? What about the indigent? What about people, Americans with disabilities? It's just, it's staggering to think that this isn't a dream. It's not a bad dream. We're gonna wake up and it's not really gonna have happened. All this money going into this self-centered worship of self because somebody wants to be a different sex because God screwed up in their mind. And to think that the whole government is able to force this down our throats is beyond frightening. So I just wanted to say, I don't know what the answer is. If there's a bunch of us that who are billionaires that could step in with lawsuits and whatnot and squash this and start funneling money from Washington into the people and the programs who have worked so hard for this country to make it great, and now it's just being torn down by selfishness. So I don't know what the answer is, but I just can't understand that Biden can really, in the administration, can really get behind this when there are people who are in dire need, who are not selfish, and who are not self-centered.
Very well said, Karen.
That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well said, Karen. Thanks so much for adding to the conversation here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. And, you know, going from the ridiculous to the sublime, let's go to Michigan. And there's a key element to this next story that you're going to hear right now. Governor Gretchen Whitmer has filed a lawsuit in state court. This just happened a few days ago, in fact, last Thursday, to overturn a 1931 law that criminalizes abortion in Michigan. The Supreme Court potentially could overturn Roe versus Wade, and that's what you and I have been praying for, and certainly as we go in our quest to 500 million memoraries, that the Supreme Court rules to overturn Roe versus Wade. They should do that by the end of their session in June. And some background on this story, the people of Michigan voted on a statewide ballot to oppose abortion, and that law was subsequently upheld by the Michigan Supreme Court. And now Governor Whitmer wants to overturn that by kind of going over the heads of the voters. All of Michigan's bishops are appealing to the governor for more sane activity here and not to do this. Rebecca Masty and the Michigan Catholic Conference are also petitioning the governor as well. Rebecca joins us as a policy advocate of the Michigan Catholic Conference here on the Drew Mariani Show. Rebecca, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Is the governor going over the heads of the voters now or wants to go over the heads of the voters now because she is up for re-election? And based on what we've been able to find, there's some Planned Parenthood money that is funneled through this controversy?
Well, I'm not exactly sure why the governor's doing what she's doing. But Michigan, I can tell you, has been a strong pro-life state for many, many years. And we are fortunate enough to be one of the few states in the country that has a pre-Roe ban on abortion. So we have a ban on abortion that is on the books that bans abortion at any stage of pregnancy except to save the life of the mother. And I just want to note that this abortion ban, although it's historical, it does not criminalize or penalize the woman. It only holds responsible those who performed or provided the abortion. So this pre-Roe ban is what is sort of at issue. And I think the reason this is coming to a forefront is because there is a likelihood, we don't know for sure, but there is a possibility Roe could be overturned by the Supreme Court.
And this will become a states' rights issue, and that's something that we've been talking about here on Relevant Radio for as long as I can remember, and of course, why, and I don't know if you heard a part of our last conversation, as Roman Catholic men and women, we must get involved and let those elected officials know, both in Washington, but right now in our state capitals, where we stand on the issues of life, because this is going to come right back, Rebecca, to our own communities.
Yes, in Michigan, with the bishops and through the Catholic Conference, we are doing everything we can to defend and support our existing law, which I mentioned is we're in a really good position in the fact that we have this. It was never taken off the books. It's just not enforceable because of the way the federal law is. But Michigan has had a number of Supreme Court cases, Court of Appeals cases that have all upheld the 1931 law, and that's what the governor is looking to overturn.
What I know this is going to be speculation, and excuse me for this question, it comes from watching too much cable news, but what is it that the governor doesn't get about the fact that the Court of Appeals has issued on this, that there is no right to abortion found in the Michigan Constitution?
That is kind of tricky. In 1997, the case that you're referring to challenged our state informed consent law. So in that lawsuit, the trial court found there was a right to abortion in the state constitution. Fortunately, the Court of Appeals corrected that and pointed out that there is no right to abortion in our state constitution, that the current ban on abortion is valid. And fortunately, our state, as of now, it has never been found to have a right to abortion. So, as I mentioned, we're going to continue to let people know that, and hopefully that we'll see what the courts do going forward.
The Michigan Catholic Conference and the seven bishops in the state of Michigan have let Governor Whitmer know where they stand, where we also stand as Catholics, as the governor tries to overturn a ban on abortion that has been on the books in the state of Michigan before Roe versus Wade. We're going to continue our conversation with Rebecca Mastey, who's a policy advocate of the Michigan Catholic Conference, and you as well at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. More on this important discussion with Rebecca coming up on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Today's show brought to you in part by Sony Pictures production, Father Stu. This biopic shares the conversion and ordination of Stuart Long in movie theaters nationwide on April 13th.
Stand up with us and be unashamed of the truth. You are never alone. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew on this Monday of Holy Week. We are looking at the state of Michigan that has had on the books pre-Roe versus Wade, a ban on abortion. Now, Governor Gretchen Whitmer wants to overturn that right now. The seven bishops in the state of Michigan have written the governor letting them know where we stand as Catholics, as has the Michigan Catholic Conference. Rebecca Masty is an attorney and a policy advocate for the Michigan Catholic Conference, joining us right now here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm astounded. I'm always astounded at some of the things that come out of the mouths of politicians and, you know, an otherwise intelligent person. I mean, anyone who's in elective office, you have to have some smarts, obviously, to get there. But Governor Whitmer's stance on abortion, and we're quoting here, says that, in the governor's words, abortion is, her words now, life-sustaining. How do you even respond to that, Rebecca? I mean, just scratching my head that, you know, someone who is, you know, otherwise a smart person would say that abortion is life-sustaining. How do you arrive at that conclusion? And I know that's a rhetorical question.
Abortion does take the life of an unborn, and so it is confusing to hear that terminology. But I think there's a lot happening right now among the pro-abortion community. There is a lot of fear and anxiety that I'm sensing, or that appears to be, and I think that this is because they're realizing or feeling that there is a possibility Roe could be overturned.
Mm-hmm.
So as we were talking earlier about the lawsuit that the governor filed just the other day, this comes following a petition drive that's actually occurring in the state right now. And I wanted to bring this up because there's a way here for people to get involved. This petition is using Michigan law that allows for citizen-initiated legislation. So if enough members of our community registered voters sign, there's a possibility to get a constitutional amendment on the ballot. So the pro-abortion community back in January started the Reproductive Freedom Petition, which we refer to as the Unlimited Unregulated Abortion Petition. And they have until July 11th to have obtained just over 425,000 valid signatures from Michigan voters to possibly get on the November ballot. So it's really kind of ironic, given that this petition would seek to add a new or create a new right to abortion in the state constitution. It's kind of ironic, given that the governor's current lawsuit is trying to say that there already exists a right to abortion in our state constitution, which, as we mentioned, is not supported currently by Michigan law. But if individuals want to get involved and learn more about educating themselves on and declining to sign this petition and raising awareness not to sign the abortion petition, the Michigan Catholic Conference has joined with a number of other organizations to create a coalition called Citizens to Support Michigan Women and Children. And this coalition is designed specifically to oppose the petition drive. So more information can be found at micatholic.org, and look for the decline to sign sticker. Again, that's micatholic.org. Look for the decline to sign sticker.
Conversely, as you mentioned, 420,000 valid signatures needed in this citizen-initiated legislation. That can happen in the state of Michigan. If we get 420,000, 425,000, should be pretty easy to do. There are 2 million Catholics and Christians who stand for life in the state of Michigan. So that would mean if I got 425,000 signatures to come with some citizen-initiated legislation standing for life, I can get that on the books?
Well, that's what the state looked to do in a couple of years ago with the banning dismemberment abortion. So the state citizen-initiated legislation has been used in a number of ways. And right now, we currently have our pre-Roe ban in place, and we're just working to get out the decline to sign for this existing petition.
Governor Whitmer is a Democrat, and you can't discard party politics here, because politics and faith collide very often, and we've certainly seen that in what we've been talking about in this hour of the Drew Mariani Show. It's a Republican-controlled legislature, so Governor Whitmer's chances of getting this through has got to be slim, yes?
Well, I think that's why she's going through the courts, is to try and
circumvent.
Exactly. There's no way. There's been legislation already introduced in both the House and Senate that would invalidate, remove our current ban on abortion, and those are going to receive any attention through the GOP pro-life lawmakers.
But the good news is in this conversation in Michigan, Rebecca, is that we've seen the Court of Appeals and we've seen the Michigan Supreme Court stand for life.
Exactly. And we're happy that this is raising that awareness so people know about our current ban, know that the ban has been upheld by the Michigan Supreme Court and Michigan Court of Appeals in a number of instances. The other thing I think that I want to bring to highlight with the listeners is that all of this and sort of the concern over Roe versus Wade, it really brings an opportunity to highlight helping women in need. So there are pregnancy resource centers and other community services available throughout the country to allow women the opportunity to choose life, to support them, her and her baby, whatever needs she might have, be it housing, employment, or help with school, diapers, you know, baby clothes, those types of things. There's community resources available right now. And fortunately, over the years, pregnancy resource centers have grown. They vastly outnumber the abortion clinics throughout the country. The Catholic Church, there's many churches available. Others are preparing to provide or provide assistance or referrals for women in need. And in Michigan alone, we have over 150 pregnancy resource centers available to help women, walk with them, and provide them any assistance that they need throughout their pregnancy and beyond.
Thanks be to God for that. And also in the 2022 budget, maybe it was the 2021 budget, I have to double check on that, but the governor vetoed more than $16 million in the budget that would have gone to those very services that you discuss.
And that was very disappointing. I've been advocating for funding for pregnancy resources and those types of services for the last 10 years. One thing I do want to mention, though, is that the governor did allow for funding, increased funding for diaper banks. And so definitely a step in the right direction.
Do I have to be a citizen of Michigan to sign what you have going on right now on the Michigan Catholic Conference website, the decline to sign button? Can I do that from any part of the country? Do I have to live in Michigan?
Just to verify, the decline to sign is to not sign the abortion petition. So there actually isn't anything to sign in that regard. It's just to let people know. So if Michigan voters are approached on the streets to be aware that this unlimited abortion petition is out there, sometimes the people who are gathering signatures don't always know all of the information about the petitions. And sometimes they might mislead people. And so we want people to be aware. One of the things to look for is this language.
Okay.
So if someone approaches you, if you're in Michigan, so this will only be for Michigan citizens and who are registered to vote. So if somebody approaches you and asks you to sign a petition, please read it, regardless of what the description that they offer you. And if the description starts with Constitutional Amendment 2, establish new individual right to reproductive freedom, kindly decline to sign that. That petition is the one that will provide unlimited abortion and unregulated abortion in Michigan.
And there's more information about this on the Michigan Catholic Conference website at micatholic.org. MI as in the abbreviation for Michigan, micatholic.org. Rebecca Masti is a policy advocate of the Michigan Catholic Conference as we see abortion and issues of life again with another, unfortunately, Democratic administration just kind of attacking who we are as Roman Catholic men and women. We want to stand up for life. You can do that online at micatholic.org. Rebecca, thank you so much for your time and for giving some light on this very critical issue, literally of life and death happening in the state of Michigan. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Rebecca Masti, who is a policy advocate for the Michigan Catholic Conference. Coming up in the next hour here on the Drew Mariani Show, it is the video that went viral on the Patrick Madrid Show. Maybe you heard that. Sounds like a lot of people having a good time. No, that video, if you haven't seen it yet, Patrick Madrid tweeted out, Those are people literally screaming for their lives from high-rises in Shanghai because the government has, in essence, locked them up because of COVID-19. They can't come out of their apartments. Patrick joins us in the next hour. And inflation. Going to try to help you save some money as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app.